evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, 16th August 2017. And this is Live Talk Diaspora Forum. My name is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Tonight on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are talking about the rising amount of diaspora remittances to Zimbabwe that have gone up by 40%.
The government says Zimbabweans in the diaspora have realized that there is a need to invest in their funds back home and that their remittances are said to have overtaken foreign direct investments during the first half of the year.
Diaspora remittances are now ranked second in terms of capital inflows after export earnings from five key commodities: gold, tobacco, platinum, chrome and nickel.
As a move to encourage the channeling of remittances through formal channels, the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe has increased incentives for diaspora remittances from 3% to 10% effective beginning of this year.
The central bank introduced the diaspora remittances incentives scheme last year to benefit both the money transfer agents and the receiver of the funds on a basis of a 2% and 3% split to reduce the cost of receiving and sending remittances.
There are millions of dollars from the diaspora that also find themselves into the country through various unofficial means.
To join our discussion, phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back.
Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on 13860 kilohertz shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
Yebo kambe zulukandaba siyadibana njalo kuhlelo lwethu lwe Diaspora Forum lapho esixoxisana khona lezizalwane zeZimbabwe ezihlala kwamanye amazwe kunye lezisekhaya khona le eZimbabwe. Lamhlanje ke sixoxa ngodaba lwemali ethunyezwa ekhaya ivela kundawana ezijeneyo zomhlaba kumagumbi amane omhlaba. Imali le kuthiwa khona isinengi kakhulu okokuthi isibalelwa ingesibili kunzuzo kahulumende okugoqela khona ezokulima lezemigodi ezizo eziphezulu bese kulandela ke yona imali ethunyezwa ngabantu. Imali le ngethunyezwa ke ngendlela ezisemthethweni. Siyazi ukubana zikhona ezinye imali inkulungwane zamadola ezithunyezwa ngendlela ezijiyeneyo zifike elizweni kodwa azibalwa kuyona le ekuthiwa khona isitholakala ivela kuzizalwane zeZimbabwe ezihlala umhlaba wonke jikelele. Jonga.
Wongubadiwa vateriri nevatariri, nhasi muchikamu chedu cheLive Talk Diaspora Forum tiri kukurukura nenyaya yemari dzinotumirwa nezvizvarwa zveZimbabwe zviri kunze kwenyika dzatinonzwa kuti muchikamu chekutanga chegore dzakasvika muzvikamu makumi mana kubva muzana, zvichive zvakare mari yechipiri inopinda munyika yakawanda kubva kune zvinhu zvishanu zvinoti fodya, goridhe, platinum, chrome nenickel zvicherwa izvi. Asi nyaya yemari inobva kunze kwenyika ndeimwe yemari inotoraramiwa nayo nehurumende yeZimbabwe, zvakaita kuti Reserve Bank kana kuti banga guru renyika riisewo chikamu chinoita 10% chekukwezva, yatinga 10% incentive yekukwezva vari kunze kwenyika kuti vange vachitumirawo mari kumusha. Yaimbenge iri 3% vakwidza kuenda pa 10% kutanga kwemwedzi uno senzira yekutenda pamwe chete nekukwezvawo kuti mari dzitumirwe nenzira kwadzo dzakatwasuka. Kune mari dzakawanda dzinopindawo munyika nenzira dzakasiyana-siyana dziri kungobatsirawo zvakare nyika, dziri mari dziri kubva kunze kwenyika. Ndonyaya yatoda kuti kurukure nhasi kuti zvii zvingaitwa nevana veZimbabwe kuti vawedzere kupfuura pane huwandihwo kana kuti kupfuura zvirimwa nezvicherwa izvi, uyewo kune vamwe vanenge vaine zvinyunyuto. Ndonyaya dzatichikurukura pano. Pindai muchirongwa, ndechenyu Chris.
Yebo Jonga, lamhlanje ke njengoba sichilo ke ukubana sikhuluma ngodaba lwemali. Jonga, siyazi ukubana izizalwane zeZimbabwe ezihlala phandle kwelizwe ziyakhala ukuthi hayi imali yafika kodwa asivunyelwa ukuvota.
Ndoi mwenye yavari kuchemana ya. Anzirotumira mari edu ichidiwa. Ichinziru kushanda tishitenu kwa kuzumurita utakanaka. Asikana ya nyaye kufota, atisha voti. Ndozi mwenye yavari zatiru kutikana mwenye shinyunyuto. Nga shukurukuru wasi. Shino nzi atira sembere kune kufirwa. Vanurambaya shinyi mchitase, mchitumira mari. Mchisimu zira shiwa kwa. Nesu shamuru kutanya zibudiriro.
Yeah, chonga we are joined by our first guest. Bernard Begilizwe Ndlovu, and he's in South Africa. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
We are fine. We are fine. So you are in South Africa. Can you tell us about the situation as far as money is sent back home? We understand, of course, there are other channels like Omalaita and, you know, other channels people are sent. But we understand that the money that is getting into the country through formal means has gone up by 40%. What's your take?
Yes, there's a lot of truth to that. And naturally, I think it's because we have people traveling and traveling to South Africa and relocating there, staying there, leaving their relatives at home in Zimbabwe, and continue then becoming the breadwinners and sending money home. The situation is bad. As you know, we don't have our own currency. We don't have our own money. Even those who are gainfully employed find themselves, you know, in difficult situations where they don't get money in banks. So somehow people have had to adapt to the situation and find solutions by sending money to Zimbabwe, hence the increase to 40%.
But do you see that 40% increasing by the end of the year?
Sorry, come again.
Do you see a shift from the 40% of the first half in the second half? Do you think it will be like 50%, 60%?
Yeah, of course it will continue increasing as long as there is flexibility and people are coming up with, you know, even new ways of sending money. It's going to increase as long as the situation in Zimbabwe continues to be bad in terms of currency and everything else. People continue to support their families by sending money home. I foresee it increasing and going up to 50 and 60%.
Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line. Chris, we are now joined by Dr. Chipo Dendere, who is based here in the United States. She's an economist and she's also a political analyst. Welcome, Dr. Dendere.
Hi, and quick correction, I'm a political scientist.
Political scientist.
Yes.
Thank you.
And a business person as well.
And a business person as well, yes.
Yes. Okay. What's your take on this topic that we are discussing this evening?
On remittances. So remittances are actually part of my research. And a while back, I wrote an article for New Zimbabwe that was titled Debt by Remittances, which got me in trouble with Zimbabweans a lot. People were not happy. And at the time when I was writing is that remittances make up a large proportion of our GDP. In fact, remittances in Zimbabwe and other parts of the world have surpassed foreign direct investment. So Zimbabweans are sending more than foreign businesses that are based in Zimbabwe. And that's huge, right? Okay. And yet on the parts of, you know, people that are remitting, they were feeling that they're not getting good dividends on their investment. And the question is why. So a remittance is good for the economy. Should people keep sending money? And I think this is kind of a difficult question because on one hand, people are sending money because their families need the money, right? Mm. But on the other hand, we also have to think about whether or not remittances can help the country develop. And I think this is where the diaspora finds itself in a difficult position, where the government obviously benefits from remittances. So right now, Zimbabweans are using bond notes, right? And yet when people remit money, they are remitting foreign currency. They are remitting US dollars, British pounds, South African rand. But the government is then giving people bond notes. So what's happening to the foreign currency? And that's a real question that people have to ask as we are you know, if we are interested or applauding that remittances have gone up. It's not really useful for remittances to go up if the average person is going to be forced to use bond notes and the government benefits from billions of foreign currency that they didn't do anything to get.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Dendere. Please stay on the line. We have another guest joining us right now. We have Mr. Dan Moyo of the Zimbabwe Diaspora Campaign. He's also the chairman of the MDCT, the U.S. province. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes, Mr. Moyo, we know that as an opposition leader, you see yourself, you know, in an awkward position because sending money back home, you know, you have to help your relatives. But at the same time, you are propping up a government which you are opposing. So what's your take there?
It's a real conundrum, to be honest with you, because on one hand, like you explained, us sending money really is helping that government continue to survive. But at the same time, if we do not, then you are doomed if you do, doomed if you don't, because we have relatives and parents that are dependent on these remittances. And if this money doesn't make its way there, they are going to starve. But at the same time, I think we have to educate our parents and relatives back home to understand what the core problem is. This is a political problem. And as long as they are comfortable receiving the money from us and not doing anything practical on the ground to bring about change, this is going to continue in perpetuity. At the end of the day, the country will continue to suffer. I know a lot of people that have children who are overseas. They don't seem to feel the brunt of the government's failure to run the economy as much as the poor people that don't have relatives who are in the diaspora. We need to educate our parents or even to limit how much we send to them if they are not taking the situation serious, because it is a political problem that needs a political solution.
Mr. Ndlovu, what's your take? You think Mr. Moyo's strategy can work if people reduce their remittances?
Look, I respect Mr. Moyo's view as a member of the opposition, but with all due respect, I think the suggestion that we reduce what we send to our parents comes from the same heart as the whole sanctions idea, and I think it's wrong. We cannot look at social matters and relationship matters that way. Let's do our politics, but also remember that people have got to survive. I cannot, declare sanctions on my mother for political reasons. My mother has got to survive. We are not. I think Mr. Moyo is assuming that talking to mature people like parents, relatives at home is not enough. And then the assumption that he makes, perhaps indirectly without realizing, is that these people are not thinking. This is the whole idea that people always have when they talk about Zimbabweans and they talk about, rural people, thinking that when you sit down with your parent and says, look, there's a big problem here. There's a bigger problem that we're dealing with here. So even as we send money to you, we want a bigger picture solution to this. I mean, you are talking about people who gave birth to you. You are talking about people who brought you up under difficult circumstances. Why make this assumption that if you explain to them like that, it's not going to work? I find it a bit insulting that someone would suggest sanctions, pseudo sanctions against their own parents. To say, if I was sending, 5,000, I'm going to reduce it to one so that you change. And you are actually indirectly twisting your parents' arm. And I don't understand where that comes from, to tell the truth. So I think we need to respect our parents, respect anyone who is at home, and know that the problem is bigger than that. I mean, when we go down to talking about politics, we would understand that even the people at home want to solve this problem. We need to find the solution together. But as we find the solution, people should be eating.
Hmm. I'm sure Mr. Moyo is burning to respond, and also maybe Dr. Dendere wants to add something, but we'll hold our horses right now because we have a caller, Jonga.
Mm. Tina mkoma Peter Sgauke from South Africa. Magadi mkoma Peter.
Ndipo mkoma magadi.
Aiwa ndirumpenyu tipe pfungwa dzinyitinzo.
Aiwa limi zangu hai. Kuti problem maje ndinona sangu zangu kuti panga pagi utaro so nita kukola futi nasumbozoma manje mechino murongo wacho dwakamira sei
muri kuti hamusi kuziva zvatiri kukurukura nezvazvo
aiwa ndambozvitinze but ndanganda kutovatawo zvangu
okay nhasi tiri kutarisa nyaya yemari inotumirwa nevana vezimbabwe vari kunze kwenyika yatinonzwa kuti muchikamu chekutanga chegore yakakwira nezvikamu zvinoita 40% ichive yechipiri yemari yakawanda inowanikwa nehurumende kubva kuzvinhu zvishanu zvinoti fojya, goridhe, nickel, platinum nechrome zvicherwa izvi nezvirimwa mari inobva kunze ndeyechipiri mumari yakawanda inowanikwa nevana vezimbabwe yakatodarika vemabhizimusi vamwe vari kuitawo mabhizimusi vekunze ava vanoda kupinda muzimbabwe vachiita mabhizimusi ndo nyaya yatiri kukurukura
orit aiwa izvozvo tinozvitenda zvikuru nekuda kwekuti kunyika yatinobva ndofunga munozviziva kuti kune nhamo yakaita sei so pari zvino zvinhu zvakadai zvinhu zvinotendwa chose zvekutiwo vanhu vari kunze vanoziva nhamo yekumba kwedu kuti yakamira sei so tinozvitenda chaizvo.
Mm-hmm. Imi muri kutumirawo here mari muri kusouth africa ikoko nenzira dzinoita kuti mari iyo ipinde muhomwe dzehurumende kana kuti inge ichizoverengwawo nehurumende?
Aiwa pari zvino handisati ndatanga zvamwe sezvo basa racho hamutozviziva kuti pane zvinomboita zvibhaizabhaiza dzimwe nguva asi kana dzaita zvekuti mari dzaitawo zvekuti tadziona aiwa ndinokwanisa kutumirawo.
Asi muri kumbotumira ina namalaicha?
Tinongotumira zviya zvekungobetserawo vabereki kuti vangobetsereka sezvo vaone kuti vaonewo chokubata.
Aiwa ndizvozvo maita basa mukoma Peter, morora zvinhu zvakanaka.
Ndinotenda mukoma Jonga, murambe muine muchifungisa zvekumusha uku.
Orit mukoma,
murambe muripo panhingi apo paredio, takakuteererai tinemi muchirongwa.
Orit mukoma, thank you so much.
Aiwa tinotenda.
Okay Chris.
Yes, Jonga, we go back to our panel, and Mr. Ndlovu there had raised an issue about what he termed personal sanctions. How do you respond, Mr. Moyo?
I understand and agree to some extent with Mr. Ndlovu's assertion that that would be tantamount to imposing sanctions on our own relatives and parents. The question I think out there for Mr. Ndlovu is, if we do want to see change back in Zimbabwe, to what extent and how far are we willing to go to realize that change? Because if we don't, and we keep looking at this thing from that perspective of we cannot sanction our parents, the problem is that the situation will never change. The status quo in Zimbabwe will remain the same. We will have this conversation even next year and the year after, because there is no motivation from the people that are suffering to take action to bring the change that we are calling for. We have seen changes happen in other countries. We saw the Arab Springs occur in Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, where the people took it upon themselves to say enough is enough, and they took to the streets, and in the process they were able to overthrow those regimes that nobody thought at the time that Mama Gaddafi could be removed by his people. It's the same scenario in Zimbabwe. Unless the people feel the pinch, unless the people who are affected by the misrule of ZANU-PF feel the pinch and have been pushed to a wall where there is no other way around except to confront the government and take to the streets and demand justice and economic accountability, it's the only way we're going to be able to force change in Zimbabwe.
Hmm. Dr. Dendere, your take there?
People are conflating a number of things. So, first of all, the idea that you can sanction how you behave is not punishing them. The stories of prejudice are in other parts of the world. So the other caller, pushing it, didn't get his name. He was saying that it would be unfair not to send money to our
country. Dr. Dendere, your phone is a little bit faint. I don't know whether it's the volume.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. That's much better.
Okay. So I was saying that the other caller, I didn't get his name, not in Samoyo, but he was saying that if we can't sanction our parents, and I absolutely agree. I don't think anyone wants to sanction the parents. What has to happen with remittances is a collective action, right? So if Chibo doesn't send money to her parents for 2 months, that doesn't make a difference. But if the diaspora as a collective agrees that we're going to have a blackout week or a blackout month, it doesn't mean that you're never going to send money to your parents, but it means that we're systematically refusing to send money over a particular period of time. And the importance of a collective action is that the government is denied a lump sum of money. So yes, 5 or more people will send money because somebody got sick and so they can't participate. But the idea is not that people should punish their parents. The idea is that the diaspora should be able to leverage. Like, this is the only thing that the diaspora can leverage. The diaspora doesn't have the right to vote, so they can't decide who's in parliament. They can't decide who's making decisions on their money. The only thing that they can leverage is their money. And it has to be a collective action. And so the Zimbabwean diaspora has to think about this as a necessary thing to do without, you know, there is no reason to deny support to your family. And if the government becomes aware that the diaspora would rather send money through South Africa than through Zimbabwe, that also sends a message, right? If people say to their families, go to South Africa, I'll send you money when you're in South Africa, I'll do it that way, that sends a very different message from the government, because the government has refused to engage with the diaspora, to have a conversation with the diaspora. They're refusing to do that. And yet, every year when they do the budget, they are actually calculating that we're going to get $4 billion or $8 billion or whatever from the diaspora that we can use to cover X, Y, and Z. But the diaspora doesn't have a say when the government says they want to build a billion-dollar university. There's no way the diaspora can voice their displeasure with that move. And so that's what I think people need to think about, that the diaspora needs a collective action that cuts across political parties. So I actually understand that even the diaspora, the ZANU-PF diaspora in the UK and the US, they're also interested in remittances, because maybe Shona Marino was up on the way, regardless of party.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that people should really understand is that the average person who's sending remittances is someone who's working 60 hours a week. You know, these people are doing back-breaking work in order to be able to support their families. And so it's very frustrating when you're working 60 hours a week and every month you're sending $500, but that $500 isn't necessarily bringing your family out of poverty. One friend of mine wrote to me when I was doing the research and said, you know, sending money home is like flushing your money down the toilet.
Hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Dendere. Please do stay on the line. Chris Tinemwe Mutereri, tina mukoma Wilbert Mukeri, vari ku UK. Mukoma Wilbert, magadi?
Tripeli magadiwe, it's Mukori.
Mukori, tine urombo, va Mukori. Tipewo pfungwa dzenyu panyaya tiri kukurukurai. Ndimi vamwe vanhu vari kutendwa kuti aiwa mari yakapinda munyika chikamu chekutanga chegore yakawanda kusvika pazvikamu makumi mana kubva muzana. Akasike kutanga makore maviri adarika ndofunga zvakangoita zvimwe chete. Mari iri kubva mudiaspora iri mari iri kungowanda ichikwanisa kunge ichibatsira mukurarama kwehurumende.
I agree. I think it's helping the government, but I think what we have got to realize, everybody in the diaspora, is that we've been giving all that money, and yet people are getting even poorer. So it's not as if it's making the nation richer. You know, I agree that the economy is what we've got to address. I beg to differ with Moyo there, who is saying that people should maybe reduce the amount of money they are giving to their relatives, and that will motivate them to do something. This is not true. I mean, most of us have been in Zimbabwe. We are in the diaspora, but we were not always in the diaspora. When you were there in Zimbabwe, what did you do to change the government? What could you have done to have changed the government? You know, and that is the reality, the same problem that you were helpless when you were there. You and me were there, and the same people who are still in Zimbabwe right now, they're still helpless, and that is a fact. And I think we've got to change the narrative and saying, how are we going to change the Zimbabwe situation in Zimbabwe? Without having to think it's people who are there who are doing nothing, because that is not true.
Mm. Chris, you can hear what Mr. Mukori is saying. Maybe, Mr. Moyo, you have something to say? Mr. Moyo?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, do you have anything to say?
I think I heard Mr. Mukori and what he's saying with regards to the people being helpless. I disagree completely that the people at home are helpless. I think, like I said, if you have been pushed into a corner, definitely your survival instincts take over, and you find a way out of that corner. We have seen it being done. What we need is to be able, like Dr. Denere was saying, to have a collective approach to this. If we were to divert what we are using these remittances for, and in fact use them to fund a resistance from within the people that says, you know what, we cannot just continue receiving handouts from our children who are working hard over 60-70 hours out there to support not only themselves in the diaspora but the families back home, and say, you know what, Zimbabwe is a rich country. We can develop this country. We just have to resist the current government and topple it, really. We need to uproot ZANU-PF roots and everything from that country. And if our people can be put in a corner where there is no other way around, like we saw it happen in other places, and revolt against that government, we are going to see the change. But we have to do it together. They have to know that they have our support, that we are going to fund the resistance. Instead of these remittances going to individual people's pockets, they go into a collective fund that's funding the resistance, and we stay out there at the Harare Square for days, months, as long as there is food, there is water being given to the people, because that's what's going to bring the change.
Thank you so much, Mr. Moyo. Vamukori, tinotenda zvikuru nekupinda pachirongwa chedu. Ndofunga kuti mapindura navamwe.
I don't agree with Moyo there. I mean, I think it's actually rich. It's coming from somebody who is a supporter of MDC. MDC are the ones, people risked life and limb to vote for them to get into power, particularly in 2008. And when they got into power, they should have implemented my reforms, which would have meant free and fair elections. They did not. And they still expect people to make the sacrifice to get them back into power. That is really rich. I think we really need to change our thinking here. It's not the people. It's the politicians, particularly some of our opposition politicians. SADC in 2018 told MDC not to to contest the 2013 elections without the reforms. Why did they, Sadag Nankiri, why did the MDC contest the elections? Because of greed, you know. So in this particular case, keep blaming the helpless villagers in the rural areas and to say, well, if they get into the corner, they are, people are already in the corner now. Zimbabwe is has got the poorest people in Africa. What more corner do you want people to be in? You should go to Zimbabwe now. So look at some of the rural hospitals. They are in a dilapidated state. People are dying unnecessarily. You know, they've tried to change the politics in Zimbabwe. We have got a repressive regime, and we've got a corrupt and incompetent opposition. And that's why we need to change the political discourse, rather than look at how people are being spoiled by remittances from the diaspora. We have been sending the remittances, and people are getting even more poorer. You know, so it's not as if it is the remittances are making people rich and therefore they are more comfortable. No. The remittance, the economy is getting poorer and more people are getting more and more desperate. So to say we must cut back on the remittance, it's a vicious circle here.
Yeah, maybe, let's apologize to our other guests, but this one seems to be directed to Mr. Moyo. Just a quick response before we turn to the other panelists. What's your final response to our caller then?
Yeah, I'd like to say it's unfair to blame MTC for ZANU-PF rigging. However, I understand where the caller is coming from with regards to us as a party having done better to protect the vote so that the rigging wouldn't occur. Yes, we agree fully. I personally feel the same way that we should have not contested the 2013 elections, and I did express that to the leadership. But of course, you know, when you are far, your voice is not heard as loudly as it should be. And there were some individuals who forced us to get into that election for their own personal gain, for their own aggrandizement. And it's a pity. Yes, I think we are not at fault as MDC in that regard.
Okay. So...
Chris, this will go on. And maybe, thank you so much, Mr. Mukori. I think our other participants or guests will continue with this discussion. But we can go to Mr. Ndlovu. Mr. Ndlovu, still with these remittances, the country is facing cash shortages. What can be done to address these problems?
Look, I think for me, it's a difficult situation. Cash shortages and so on, and then naturally, I agree that the government wants to have their cake and eat it. Like I forgot the name, put it where they want to engage the diaspora, but they take advantage of what the diaspora is bringing or onto the table. We can only assist in terms of sending money. I don't think I have a solution. I'll be lying to you if I said to you, I have a solution to put on the table in terms of cash shortages. I'm not on the ground. Perhaps if I was on the ground, I would give a suggestion as to what can be done to solve the problem of cash shortages. But I just wanted to say one or two things about, response to Mr. Moyo's suggestion. You know, I think that there is an element of... it smacks of an armchair revolutionary attitude where we are saying those at home should run in front and even run to the streets. Can you imagine someone saying that to their mother? Let's take to the streets. We are here in the diaspora. I would personally be ashamed of saying that. It would be easy for me, if I was home, to suggest that we should take to the streets. Not from here to say, I'm sending you money, therefore, take to the streets when ZANU-PF rigs. And let's change, what happened in countries like Egypt and Tunisia. That's talking from a distance, really. I think Mr. Moyo needs to rethink what he is thinking. I agree to a large extent with Mr. Chikore that people are
in a corner, the west corner in Zimbabwe. And as we try and resolve problems, we need to take that into consideration. We need to take a lot of issues into consideration and also remember that if we are serious about claiming that ZANU-PF rigs, what it means is that people are voting against ZANU-PF. So why then start twisting people's arms when they are voting against ZANU-PF? Solutions that need to be found are those that need to solve that big issue, like the one that you're asking me. And I'm saying to you, it's not a simple question to address cash shortages. But those are the issues that need to be addressed at the moment while we are busy trying to remove ZANU-PF.
Thank you so much. We have another caller, Silo Thabo Mkandla, okobulawayo. Sakwamukela kuhlelo. Yebo Mkandla.
I think the phone
dropped there. Anyway, we'll continue with our panelists. Dr. Dendere, what's your take in all this? You know, it seems like you can't separate the remittance issue from politics. Since you are the scientist there, let's get your view.
I am, but I was also just chatting with some economists. So someone said to me, countries like Zimbabwe have been producing money for other countries, right? I have a friend who studies how Chinese migrants have done well in Zimbabwe whilst the average Zimbabwean is struggling. So they come in, they open businesses, and they're doing well. And part of what she was trying to study is what are they doing? How are they surviving in this environment that the diaspora has said is unconducive for business? And it turns out that a lot of it has to do with the way that the government interacts with migrants. So in our case, so the diaspora has to think about pushing the government for incentives for the diaspora to be able to invest in their home country significantly. So, for example, if the government is interested in the diaspora doing more, then as a diaspora, perhaps people should ask for tax-free benefits when people open businesses. And I know that our government has extended that courtesy to particular business people when they need it for an investment. So I think the diaspora really has to organize amongst ourselves and think about how to use our skills and our interest in making money out of our investments in Zimbabwe. A colleague of mine has started a microfinance loaning program in him. And so when I was talking to him about remittances, he said, look, we cannot ask people to wait until the government changes before they start doing something for themselves, right? We cannot ask people to wait until the political situation changes for them to start being able to sustain themselves. So what he does is to give very small loans to informally employed people in Zimbabwe. He has people that are carpenters, builders, all of it. And he understands the risk that sometimes people will not pay him back. He knows that. But he said to me, no one else is willing to invest in Zimbabwe. No one else is willing to take the risk in small business owners in Zimbabwe. So as somebody who's in the diaspora, has a little bit of capital, I am willing to take the risk and invest in Zimbabweans in that way. So he's sending a ton of money back home, but he's sending it in the form of loans to small businesses that he then does the whole training thing with them and, you know, these evaluations that he does. So I think that that's where we have to think outside the box. The situation is not going to change today or tomorrow. I'm not even convinced that if MDC comes in, things will drastically change, you know, within the first 3 months. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to bank on. I think it's hard for the MDC to ask people to bank on the fact, on their good words, that things will drastically change. So we have to think about long-term solutions that are not necessarily bound to the politician who's in office. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, sure, it does, it does. Thank you so much for that contribution. We have a caller, Lunga, also South Africa. Siyakwamukela kuhlelo.
Yebo, baba, njani?
Hayi, siyaphila. Kunjani eSouth Africa?
Hayi, eSouth Africa namhlanje kuyagodola.
Hayi, ungasiphathisa ke kuhlelo lwalamhlanje.
Oh, yebo, kusho ukuthi, hayi, mina nje mayelana ngale ndlela ye yokuposta izimali kusho ukuthi eyithandi kuba i-travel. Iyithandi kuba i-travel impela imali lokho kusiba nembandela nje kusiya phambili uthole ukuthi uma ufaka imali yakho lana iya le ekhaya. Isika le ekhaya nokuyithola kakhona kube nzima since isikhathi uthatha ama-days uzoyibona. Uma let's say sometimes udumele ukuthi bethatha i-dollar ngale. Ivele bekunike nje yazi iweshe lesiliva yazi ongayikwazi nokuthi uzoqala uyayiphatha kanjani nje nokuyithwalisa ngasekhaya. So manje le mali okuqhubeka nje kusiba nemibandela nje eminingi-ningi nakho ayi akusabonakali nokuthi ilizwe liya ngaphi. Ya sekusixaka mpela uthole ukuthi noma uthi uyifaka kumalayitha ngesinye isikhathi nayo umalayitha abanye ufika ekhaya seyidlile imali yakho nemithetho nje sezindleleni lana ehlala ijintshatshintshe nsuku zonke. Ya kuthanda ukuba nzima mpela ngoba nakho uthole ukuthi ngapha siyathukwa futhi kuthiwa abantu abasebenzayo emazweni yilokhu nalokhu asifundanga ngamanye amalanga siyacelwa njalo ukuthi sizane ngapha lesi kwi-government. Uthole ukuthi u-government uyamsiza kanjani ngelizwe lidinga nje imali engaka nje thina sisebenzele siyazihluphekela ngapha emazweni. Kube nzima ukuthi ungafaka isandla ukuthi uyaxhasa u-government la ubone nje ukuthi indawo ekuyizona ebezivele nje zinama-taxpayers yibo abazidestroye nje baziqela nje tu. Awuhlanisa amaplazi ama-factory ayonke nje ibhizinisi sesibona nje ibhizinisi engathi iphakeme nje yena le eyama-transport yamabhasi ini yiyo nje sebezibona ngathi nje ngathi iyaphakama nje elizweni kodwa kuningi nje hhayi sesilahle ithemba.
Hayi hayi abadala bathi bona okungapheliyo kuyahlola hayi kutsho ukuthi kuzaphela kuzalunga kwemunye umnyaka.
Hey kuzaphela mfowethu kodwa-ke yabona naleze sesizibona ngapha ezikamama welizwe nawe khanya naye sekuthela induka abantwana nje ngenasidingo baba hei ungathi kusazoba nzima elizweni lakithi.
Ya hayi sibongile kakhulu mnumzana Lungu. The most, I mean, he says he touches on a number of issues, but one of the main issues he touches on is the fact that you send money, but the people can't receive it.
Yes.
They're told for days that there's
no money. And I understand that the Reserve Bank is also encouraging people to use what they call pocket money or plastic money and all those other means of remitting money instead of cash. If you send money and the recipient receives it in cash, you'll get 3%. If it receives it in the other ways, then you'll get a 10% incentive. That's what they are saying. But maybe tombonzwa kuna vamoyo. Vamoyo hurumende iri kukurudzira vari kunze kuti mubatane kita hatingati ma partnership muchirungu. Mubatane ne nayo mukuitawo zvirongwa zvakafanana ne vamwe vatonzwa kuti vatobatana ne National Railways of Zimbabwe vari kunze kwenyika nezvimwe zvakadaro. Munoona iri kurudzira yakadi tichiona muri kuti ngapatsvagwe nzira dzekuti hurumende inzwe kurwadza nenyaya dzemari.
Vajonga ini ndino believe kuti ukarumiwa kai 1 hauchadi kurumiwa kwechi 2. Chinhu chiri kuitika ndechekuti government yeZimbabwe iri corrupt. Nyangwe tichida kuti tiinvest muZimbabwe kune president whereby Reserve Bank it some time back yakapindira maaccount evanhu ikatora mari dzevanhu without permission yevanhu zvikanzi it was an emergency. The government needed the money. Amuna ma guarantees ekuti tika investor muZimbabwe at one point ZANU-PF won't decide kuti mangwana imuke ichitora mari dzedu tese yotiudza kuti government needs that money and with no recourse. So I don't see any investor in their right mind achitora mari yake achino investor in a situation in an environment like that where there is uncertainty kuti mari yako inogona kumuka yatorwa nezuru the following day. So that the problem again it goes back to problem yatinayo e problem ye politics zenyika tine government iri corrupt until and unless tinogona kutraya kuisa duct tape apa ne apa kuti zvinhu zvibatane but hapana chichanaka kumuZimbabwe as long as we still have that same government in power, which controls you. People have to understand that Amuna Mwenzira, we cannot skate around this issue. This is the elephant in the room. And we all have to deal with the elephant here. So we can circumvent it, Toyota's Rhinos, Redu, Chinchedu. I think I'm going to read Zimbabwe because the next thing government in a power, Amuna rule of law. There is no guarantee that we're not going to pin them. We can't mark over a Torah Mariako because they have done it in the past. So what guarantee would you have that they won't do it again this time around?
Hayi kuzwakala mnumzana singabamba lapho ucingweni silo mnumzana Ncube ose Botswana Ncube sakwamukela kuhlelo
Yebo ba
Yeah ungapi kwe Botswana
e Francis Town in Manasa
Oh e Francis Town ungasiphathisa yeah ungasiphathisa usephimbono yakho
Right mina ngibona ukuthumezela imali ekhaya ku right futhi problem ekhona Imuzimu
tinga ngathi ngiyabona ukuthi ngiyabona ukuthi
I'm going to go to the next one.
Hayi kwezwakala isibongile kakhulu mnumzana. Mhm. Yeah, Jonga is insisting that you know no matter what people just have to send money back home. Mhm.
Ah, maybe we can go back to Dr. Before I go to Dr. Dendra, maybe we can go to Mr. Ndlovu. Mr. Ndlovu, we were just discussing about the cash shortages. And this 10% incentive by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe for what it calls wallet accounts, those who receive their money not in cash, they get 10% incentive. And those who opt for cash remittances, they get 3%. Do you see people, more people going to use that those wallet accounts instead of cash since there's a cash shortage?
Yes, most likely they are. You know, if you look at Zimbabwe, the way we've always done the things, we had the Kono, the Kidon Kono era. They become creative. ZANU PF is creative. ZANU PF wants to survive. The government of ZANU PF would always come up with, you know, incentives to make people support whatever programs they have. It's not in the benefit of. Those who take up such intense incentives is eventually in the benefit of the government. I agree with Dr. Chitendere earlier on saying that we need to think of ways. We don't want just to, like what Mr. Ncube has been saying, to say let's continue sending money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, yes, let's find those ways. But those ways should be selfless, even on the part of ourselves here in the diaspora, not to expect those who are at home to be the ones who contribute blood and sweat while we are here just giving instructions. So, yes, people will take up those incentives naturally because we have all entered the survival mode, and we can't blame those who enter that mode and use it at the moment. But we need to continuously, you know, see and be aware of the fact that at the end of the day, benefits the government, and the government will remain on their feet and survive to some extent. So what are we saying? Are we saying, therefore, that we should say just stop taking those incentives and stop surviving? No. Survive. Let's find ways still of without mixing issues of survival and removing government, ways of removing government while at the same time surviving.
Mm. Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line. We have another caller, Mr. Fidelis Chimombe, who is based in Boston here in the USA. How are you, Mr. Chimombe?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you for bringing me to the program.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us. Your take or contributions?
Yeah, okay. I think I have two contributions. So, firstly, you asked the question about Zimbabweans outside partnering with the government to do projects, like what some people have done with regards to national railways of Zimbabwe. I think partnering with the Zimbabwean enterprises at the moment is a very dangerous endeavor, because Zimbabwe has proved times without number that there's no security for capital when investors put in their money. And looking at what the country is going through right now, cash shortages and other problems, it's difficult for us investors outside to take our money out when we've made our money. Then I think if you put money in Zimbabwe in parastatals at the moment, you see that the money is not going to scale the enterprise. It's going to pay debt, which won't necessarily give a good return to the investor. Okay, so that's my contribution. Then now going to what Mr. Moyo said regarding functioning relatives and parents, I think you might have to rethink that, because, as you know, the first rule of nature of any man is self-preservation, then followed by preservation of one's own household. So we cannot sanction our parents. I think also trying to sanction our parents brings two interesting things. You see that it's like vote buying, which we blame ZANU-PF for. You cannot force your parents to vote the way you want because they're giving them money, right? Then, Katie two, trying to force people to remove ZANU-PF by not sending them money. It's like sanctioning our parents, which also furthers ZANU-PF's argument that the opposition requested for sanctions in order to cripple down Zimbabwe's economy. Therefore, my advice to Mr. Moyo is that his party, MDC, might have to rethink that idea, if it's a party's idea. I'd like to think it's his own idea. Yeah. Then, Chakuped Sira, and Noti, to the government, I don't think the government should be trying to depend on diaspora remittances, because the truth is that diaspora remittances don't work. They are only good when the country is going through a tough time, just to help keep the citizens alive. Because you see that Puti Mari Ineswa from a diaspora remittances, it's money which is going into consumption. It's money which is going to pay bills. It's money which is going to pay school fees. This money is not being invested so that it can generate more money. Therefore, it doesn't provide any room for growth. So, yeah, that's my contribution. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chimombe. We hope to hear from you in our next programs. Thank you again.
Yeah.
Yes, now let's go to Dr. Dendere. Dr. Dendere, Zimbabweans are said to be people who love complaining. I mean, these allegations have come here and there. One of the reasons why I'm saying that is when you look at the situation right now as far as remitting money to Zimbabwe is concerned, you compare it with other countries, like, for example, South Africa, you find that for example, I send Mr. Bekilizwe Ndlovu here $100. By the time he receives it, it's less than a little bit less than that. But in Zimbabwe, you get that money as well as an incentive. What do you say about that?
Well, you're not getting that money. I mean, if the government is giving people bond notes, they're essentially stealing people's money. If bond notes were one-to-one to the U.S. dollar, there would be no need to give people incentives, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, recipients are not children. Like, don't try and find creative ways to steal people's money by doing these unnecessary incentives. Who are they incentivizing? For what reason? To whose benefit?
Mm-hmm.
If it was one reason where the government was saying, you know what, we're doing this and you would see Pararinga for hospital would have improved by this much. You know, we would have changed, we would have more beds. But the problem with our government is that they don't feel like they owe anyone an explanation. So the government decides that the country needs another university. They don't have a conversation. They don't listen. So no, they don't get to do that. And I think this is where the diaspora as a collective should get up and say, no, we don't want your incentives. Yes, we want our U.S. dollars. If I send my parents 500 U.S. dollars, I don't want your 10%. I want you to give them 500 U.S. dollars. You know why? Because these mobile transfers are expensive in the long run.
Mm.
Each time you buy something using EcoCash, you have to pay a small fee. So it might sound like a good idea, but at the end of the day, the recipient is losing money. The remitter has paid Western Union. Western Union has paid taxes to our government. So the Zim government is one of, I think, the top 10 countries that are getting the most remittances in the world. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to the government saying the diaspora should invest in parastatals, I say to the diaspora, let's buy the parastatals. We don't want more Air Zimbabwe, right? That's badly managed. We've got smart people. We've got very smart people that are doing great work abroad. The diaspora should buy out the government and then privatize the parastatals and maybe run them better. I would do that instead of investing my money into a project that I'm not sure how I'll get my return.
Mm.
And especially because we're not dealing with a government that's saying to us, let's sit down, let's have a conversation, right? There is no conversation. There's just instructions. This is what you should do. This is how we're doing it. There's no conversation. I don't think they've had consultations with anyone. So if the diaspora, there is money to be made in Zimbabwe. People are making money in Zimbabwe. Other, especially foreign investors, when they come to Zimbabwe, they make money.
Mm-hmm.
Why else would the U.S. be building an even bigger embassy in Zimbabwe if they didn't think that Zimbabwe is a potentially interesting country? So Zimbabwe has a lot to offer the world. It's just not offering that to Zimbabwean citizens. And we have to take ownership. And like I said, we can't bank on any particular politician and say, oh, you know, we're going to put all of our hope in MDC. Oh, we can't say, oh, I'm going to put all of my hope in ZANU-PF. We have to put our hope in the average Zimbabwean who is not interested in winning office per se, but is interested in running a business that employs people and turns a profit.
Hmm.
So I don't encourage anyone to invest money in parastatals. The government should ask people if they want to be bought out, right? I would buy shares where I own 60% and the government owns, another person owns 20% and the government owns 10%. I would do that.
Hmm. Oh, thank you so much. Time, like they say, you know, when you're having fun, time just flies. I wonder, Jonga, if we're having any fun.
Yeah, we're having fun, but we can give the opportunity to Mr. Moyo to just say something in 30 seconds. Mr. Moyo, your last word.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to say, especially to Mr. Chimombe, that if you give somebody a fish, they are going to survive for one day. But if you give them a hook, they are going to survive for much longer days. And that's how we should be thinking about these remittances. Are we really helping our people right now, or are we just keeping them going on day by day, just like kicking the can down the road? Let's find a solution to the problem, and we all know what the problem is.
I see. Thank you so much. With those wise words, we have come to the end of the show and would like to thank there Mr. Dan Moyo of the Zimbabwe Diaspora Campaign and the MDCT. And we also had Mr. Begilizwe, Bernard Ndlovu, and of course, Dr. Chipo Dendere. Thank you so much. The name is Gande. Good night.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri. Good night.